KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes. My co-host, Fresno State Athletics Director Jim Bartko, couldn't be with us today, but we got a very special guest in his place. Joining us now via phone is Stephen Tremblay, Director of New Media at Fresno State. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's game day, and in less than an hour, tailgate lots are going to open, and the Red Wave is going to descend on Bulldog Stadium, and we're just so excited for it to be Bulldog football season. It's all about the times that we get to spend with our family and friends, really enjoying Fresno State football, that pride of the Valley, wearing our Bulldog red. The team will be wearing red helmets, red jerseys, white pants today. As the next three games, you'll see the red jerseys worn by the Bulldogs, and all red for homecoming. So it's really a special time here in the Valley, and it's really building that community. As an alum myself, over the course of this last decade, being able to be a part of this Fresno State community has been special to me. So I'm really looking forward to the game, and we're kicking off at 1:30 today.
I like your style, getting right into it, getting down to the nitty-gritty. I'm already pumped up for the game listening to your opening there. But, you know, let's talk about this Bulldog football team. A lot of people are talking about the Dogs right now, which direction this team's headed. You were in Toledo last week for what was a rough game there, a 52-17 loss to the Rockets. What was the atmosphere like around that team, you know, on the trip back and just this week going forward and trying to put that behind them?
I think the team has been focused, and you always love teams that are able to respond at points in the second half. Obviously, the result and the performance wasn't what the team was looking for out of themselves last week. But when Coach DeRuiter and the coaches are looking at the film, they're focused on getting ready for Tulsa and beating a very good Tulsa team that's coming into Bulldog Stadium later today to take on the Bulldogs. So on our end, it's all about that focus. It's all about that next game. You can't go backwards. You've got to go forward, and it's more than just one single game. And I think that you're going to see a lot of growth from the team throughout the entire season. And hopefully, what we see today is something just that fighting Bulldog pride. And when I had the chance to talk with Joe Bernardi earlier this week, of just his pride and the passion that he has as a former player that's on the staff, and how much the team appreciates the support of the Red Wave, how for the Sac State game, for the home opener, Fresno State and the fans throughout the Valley really came out. And I mean, over 3,000 students that were at that first game. The student section was absolutely packed, and that was something that was really important for the team. As struggled at times in that in the home opener, but able to really finish strong and get a 31-3 victory over Sac State. So that's all those kind of things are special.
I think that's exactly it. You know, the point we need to make with. The fans play such a huge part to not only the whole atmosphere, the pageantry of a college football game day here in Fresno, but just, you know, in the past, talking to a lot of players on the Bulldogs team, there's so many players who say having those fans in there, having the Red Wave behind them adds that extra dimension to their game. It really kind of picks them up through adversity throughout the game. It helps them ride even higher when things are going well. How important is it for the Red Wave to be out there and support a team, especially when you have a younger team right now that's looking to find some confidence?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. I mean, I think it goes back to everything that we're trying to do on the university side of the campaign as just the ticket to build our community. And when Eric Peck is talking about how, I mean, buying a ticket is supporting his scholarships, is supporting our entire athletics department, and what that means for the community, where 80% of students that go to Fresno State stay in this community. community and give back throughout the rest of their careers and their lives. So it's more than just a football game. But when you talk about football game, I mean, with tailgates, lots opening in less than an hour, we've got, I mean, so many fun places for people to hang out, whether it's with those family and friends or our new Toyota Drive location just north of Pete Biden Field. We saw at the first, at the home opener, Victory Valley had really, I mean, basically record sales for it, that location, of folks finding that location. And with some of the new fencing, we've talked a lot about fencing, but I think people saw it a little bit at that first game, especially on the east side of the stadium, of just a much more open, much more inclusive feel to how people experience Bulldog Stadium, and seeing the growth and the trajectory of where that's going to be over the next couple of years is really important. So buying a ticket is obviously it's disposable. It's disposable income. It's a discretionary income. So I know that like our team feels that the entire athletics department wants to earn that right for our fans to spend time watching a Fresno State football game. But it's more, as you talked about, it's that pageantry of Bulldog football that is more than just a game. It's an entire experience. It's an entire day that we'll see. And for this weekend, the special part of it being Garth Brooks was at the Save Mart Center last night. We've got the Bulldog football game today. Garth Brooks back at the Save Mart Center for two more shows later tonight, and then as well as one more on Sunday. So it's really special. So it's a special weekend, and looking forward to seeing the Bulldogs play at a very high level and compete and take down a Tulsa team and enter conference play on a little bit of momentum. So conference play is where you have that chance. I mean, everybody has, even at this time of the season, every single team in the Mountain West can compete for a Mountain West championship, and you have to win your division. It's going to be tough for Fresno State to do that with San Diego State on our side and the way that San Diego State moving into the top 25 rankings. That's all those things are going to be challenging, but it's not without, I mean, San Diego State's coming to Fresno. They have to go through Bulldog Stadium, where Fresno State is 20-6 over the last 26 games. So it's something that you talk about what Fresno State football has done over the last couple of years, and I think that there's a great opportunity today to move forward in a great direction.
Yeah, and this is Tulsa, that's the last tune-up before conference play begins next week at UNLV. Then the Dogs head to Nevada after that. So it's important to get that win, feel good about yourself heading into those first couple conference games. All of them really should be winnable games, and the Dogs are definitely going to have to play well to get that accomplished. But it's a critical time, I think, on the Bulldog football schedule.
Oh, most definitely. So it's that last opportunity to get a good taste in your mouth before starting conference play on the road for the first 2 weeks, as you mentioned. I'll be with them next week and the week after when they go to UNLV and to Nevada. So that's a tough start, but those are winnable games, as is the San Diego State game. Every game on you can talk to anybody. Every game on this schedule is a winnable game for this team, and it's just, As you talk to the coaches, it's about competing at our level and competing at being that hard-nosed, tough Bulldog football that we've known throughout the years, and then executing on game day. So the team has been working relentlessly to improve throughout the off season, through this first part of non-conference play, and then it's going to be a good test, and I'm looking forward to watching a good football game today at Bulldog Stadium.
Yeah, I know the Bulldogs have been working especially hard this week on, trying to be more physical, play a Bulldog football brand, and at the same time work on execution a little bit. We saw the offense, struggle a little bit against Toledo as far as executing, moving the ball, moving the chains, getting first downs. That was a bit surprising to me to see after the Nebraska game that opening week, where the offense seemed to have some early success and was in that game really through the first three quarters neck and neck. Seeing that much promise, were you a bit surprised at the troubles the offense seemed to have in Toledo?
I mean, anytime you go 0-for-13 on third downs, you're going to be questioning certain things. But I think on our team's point side, I mean, Toledo – is a team that probably doesn't get as much respect nationally as it should. It was something that Coach DeRuiter was talking about leading up to the game of where they've been able to grow recruiting-wise with the different exposure opportunities on ESPN, that they were able to get into some places that they hadn't been able to get into previously. So, I mean, Toledo was – they just came out and they flat-out executed. And, I mean, it's something where after the game, Coach DeRuiter, when he was talking to Andrew Martin, Robert Kawada, and our staffs after the game for the post-game press conference, just said they got outplayed, they got outcoached, and they had to go look back at the film, see where they made mistakes. They made mistakes throughout the game, and that happens in football. And I mean, you never want to downplay it's like you're never happy after a loss. If you're happy after a loss, you're probably in the wrong business. But this is the time to continue to grow, and I think it's more important to see how this team plays, how this team responds, and then throughout the rest of the season, this is a team that can compete for a Mountain West championship. And I mean, I'm not trying to just continue to hit that, but that is what the opportunity is in front of them. So a good performance today, I think, can get that momentum. No matter what happens today, Fresno State opens conference play a clean slate 0-0 with a chance to go and beat a team that Fresno State beat last year in UNLV, has a little bit of that revenge of having a bad taste in their mouth from their last trip out there. So it's not trying to look past Tulsa, but there is a lot in front of the season, and I'm really looking forward to seeing as many fans come out throughout this entire fall. We've got some new 3- and 4-game mini plans. We've got some great ticket packages. AgFest is today as we celebrate the importance of agriculture throughout the entire region of California and what that impact is for the entire world. I mean, being that breadbasket and really being able to feed the world. Those are the kinds of things that we're focused on. And a heads up about today, we'll have some honorary captains as we do for all of our games, but if you're talking about physicality and a team that's going to play at a high level, Marcus Rally, one of those guys, Chasten West, Tom Brandstater from football, and then we've got Lauren Berger, Jen Jory, and Katie Spock from our non-football sports that are also alum that will be recognized as our honorary captains. But I mean, if you're talking about physicality, you're talking about guys that play at a very high level, those are three guys that have that history. And so it's guys that have stayed connected with the program. So I think overall, all of those things are critical to this Bulldog football program. It's larger than one game. It's larger than one play. It's really a tradition of being that pride of the Valley, and I think it's going to be a fun game today.
Yeah, it sounds like a great collection of captains. And you know, when you say Tom Brandstater, when you mention him, the first thing I think of is that 2006 season when he was in his first year as the starting quarterback. And the Bulldogs, you know, they struggled through a tough season. I think they only won 4 games that year, but they bounced back in a big way the next couple seasons as he got more experience. And I think that's what you want with this team too, hopefully sooner rather than later. But you want, you know, the young quarterback, Chase and Virgil, you want some of your other young players on offense to really, you know, step up and progress from game to game. And by the time you get to the end of the season, you've got a product that's in contention there in the Mountain West.
And Tom Brandstater turned into an NFL quarterback. I mean, that was the 2006 season. I was a student in the student section, and I mean, the some of the vibes throughout the community were of people pulling for Sean Norton, who was his backup, and Sean got some chances. And without speaking poorly about Sean Norton, I just think Tom Brandstater showed and throughout the rest of the season why he was that number one guy initially. I think it's a sentiment that you'll hear in the media of how a backup quarterback's always the most popular guy on the team when the team's struggling. I think Chasen is a guy that's really athletic. He's a great. I mean, he's a really good student athlete. Really good person. Has a great family, and he's somebody that wants to win at a high level and is going to put in that work. And over the course of his career, it's going to be fun to watch him grow. But at the end of the day, you got to win games. So I think that a chance today against Tulsa, and you get a win today, and you're going in conference play. Let's open that up against UNLV. Let's see how the cards fall.
Steven, as director of new media, you'll also be down on the field sharing insight on social media, Facebook, Twitter, etc. How's Facebook Live changed what you do on game day?
It's really revolutionized the ability to give fans just an exclusive behind-the-scenes look that you usually wouldn't be able to give fans that aren't at the stadium. When we didn't have any TV for the first game, we did a little bit more with Facebook Live than we'll necessarily do throughout the season. But I think just overall in general, when we're traveling at Toledo, I think that we had a couple of Facebook Lives, one from high atop the press box and one down on the field before the game. And I think that gave us a chance to remind folks that the game was going to be on TV, it was going to be on radio, as well as give you a look at that warm-ups, which we've done quite a bit through some of the fall practices as well as that first game. Facebook Live is just it's a free way to give people that connection and engage people within that community. So it's we really look forward to seeing any comments, whether they're positive, negative. But if anybody has any questions, we can always remind folks that NASCAR says that NASCAR is going to be on your TV guide because that's what the national NBC was going to show. But KC24 was going to show the Bulldog football game, which they were. So even if it did say that on your screen. So, it's just that personal one-on-one back and forth that we can have with fans. So, I enjoy whenever we can in the right situations go live and give fans that behind-the-scenes look that you hadn't been able to get because I literally can do it from a phone and can do it with cell coverage and sometimes even wireless. And wireless on game day at Bulldog Stadium, just because there's so many cell towers, it's we're limited on sometimes of when we can get out there. But, no, I think it's been fun. I don't know. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think, I had fun last week when the Dogs were at Toledo just – It almost brings you there, even when you're, a thousand miles away. You can get right on the field and feel like you're there, a part of the environment, and see some things before the game, before kickoff, that fans don't normally see, as far as players warming up or people just setting up in the stadium. You can kind of gets you going and gets you extra excited for the game if you're not already, if you need that extra little boost. But in just a few moments, we'll bring you some insight on today's game from head coach Tim DeRuiter from his weekly press conference. That's coming up. But first, a couple more things to talk about regarding Bulldog athletics. Football begins Mountain West play next week at UNLV, as we discussed. But what about volleyball and soccer? They began Mountain West play this week. Both teams came in pretty hot. Has that increased expectations for the type of seasons they're aiming for?
Well, I think both teams, when I talked to both Brian Zawaska and Lauren Netherby-Sewell before the season, they're just like you'll talk to almost any coach and they won't want to compete for a conference championship, but they both felt good about their teams and of what they could potentially do throughout this season. So I think that both will be factors in the Mountain West. The Mountain West on a volleyball side has just been dominated by Colorado State over the course of the last seven seasons as they've won the conference championship each of those years. And Fresno State, really trying to, from a soccer and volleyball doesn't have a Mountain West tournament. So you have to win the regular season to get to the NCAAs unless you can build a strong enough non-conference record, which Fresno State did a great job in non-conference play, but depending on how everything goes conference-wise, still likely will need to win the regular season to get to the NCAA tournament. Soccer-wise, women's soccer-wise, there is a tournament, but only the top six teams, so you have to finish in that top six to be able to qualify for the Mountain West tournament down in San Diego in that last week of October, first week of November. So, and that is that's not a rotation Mountain West tournament like you'll see in some of the sports where it might either go out to bid or they'll rotate. But the previous year's regular season champ gets to earns the right to host the conference championship, which San Diego State has done for the last few years. Not trying to get sidetracked, but as we're talking about tournaments, that's another change when it comes to baseball this year, is that the top four teams will be the ones that qualify for the tournament, and that will go to whoever wins the regular season championship this year. So Fresno State baseball, if they had done it, they're the defending regular season champs. So if they had won the regular season last year and the current setup was in place, Fresno State wouldn't have had to go out all the way to Albuquerque. They would have earned the right to host the conference championship, which I think is always a preferred from a competitive point of view, but there are some logistical travel cost considerations that you would have and why you see the different setup for different sports of whether you have a regular, whether you have a tournament or not. But when you talk about volleyball and women's soccer, both of those teams are teams that feel like they can be factors in the Mountain West. I mean, it's just an extension of what I think you've heard from Jim Barco, our athletics director, throughout the years, is that he expects our teams to compete for championships, and he expects them to be great and competing at a very high level based off of the resources that are available to them, as well as just find a way to compete for a championship, be a factor in those races, and you're going to win some championships, and you're going to win a lot of championships, and you can do it in the right way. I don't necessarily think that it's been a huge surprise. I mean, I think that we're very happy with the performance of the team so far, and I think it's a great chance that now, as the teams are in Mountain West play, to see how those teams perform, and both will be back at home this next week as volleyball host two, and San Diego State will come in for women's soccer a week from yesterday, so Friday of next week.
And Stephen, we're almost out of time here, but before we go, I want to get your thoughts on the basketball team. I know they're getting ready to tip off the season in November. It's going to be here before we know it. Coming off the big season last year, obviously winning the Mountain West tournament, earning the NCAA tournament bid. What do you expect from the basketball team this year? How are they coming together?
What a special run that was last year, and it was fun to be a part of. I'm just looking forward to seeing how this team continues to grow and develop. I mean, Paul Watson has really been putting in a lot of work in the weight room as well as on the floor. A lot of the returners have too, but I'm excited about our new guys and some of the guys that you didn't see last year is Jerron Hopkins and Deshaun Taylor both had to sit out. Jerron Hopkins is one of our two guys that will be going out to Las Vegas for the Mountain West men's basketball media days. He'll join Paul Watson. So it'll be Paul Watson senior and then Jerron Hopkins, who hasn't played for us yet but played two good years at Colorado before sitting out as a redshirt per the NCAA guidelines on transfers. But I think both of those guys are key guys to watch. You've got a local kid in Bryson Williams. I could go all the way up and down the list of the newcomers, and I think that they're all very talented. We'll see how they mix into the rotation and who can earn that spot into a rotation. That'll kind of be anywhere in that 8 to 10 range, maybe as much as 11, depending on how things shake out. I think Paul and Jerron are two key guys to watch as the season unfolds. We've talked at different points, but William McDowell White set to join the team during the season after he completes some of his academic coursework down in Southern California. So, I mean, that's a five-star recruit, a 6'5" point guard that has just got all the tools that you could ask for. But how that mixes onto the team, and I think that he's got a great chance. But we've got a lot of great players even until he is able to join the team this season. So when you look at this team, this is a team to get excited about. This is a team that if you have the chance to get season tickets, this is just a great show. It's guys that have been doing the work on and off the court. So it's another season that I'm looking forward to, and I think that they're going to be right back into the mix. They've got a tough non-conference, especially with road games, and then welcoming. I mean, I don't think that we could have asked, barring having to go on the road to a historic place like the Pit to open up the season, but we couldn't have asked for a better Mountain West schedule for Fresno State fans. I mean, you look at the five Saturday games that we've got, all afternoon games: Nevada, Boise State, San Diego State, New Mexico, and UNLV for your Saturday games. Those are great matchups, and there's great matchups throughout the conference. But if you just want to look at the Saturday games, from a Fresno State fan point of view, you can go out, watch the game, still have time to grab a quick bite for dinner, and still be home by 8, 9 o'clock at night because you're starting at either 4 o'clock for four of those games and 3 o'clock for the other ones. But all throughout the season, I mean, starting with a 3-game homestand and then getting tested on the road at places like Oregon State, Drake, Marquette, as well as Oregon. So it's a great time for Fresno State men's basketball, women's basketball also. Just a few seconds away from getting to the NCAA tournament, with coming up just a little bit short against Colorado State. But they've got Bago, the blocks leader in the nation, coming back, and they've also got a great set of schedule. And I'm looking forward to watching them too.
Certainly a lot to look forward to for the Red Wave. More immediately, Bulldog football today. As you said, the tailgate lots open at 9:30 this morning. Kickoff is at 1:30 p.m. Should be pretty mild weather for this time of year. The high expected around 88 degrees, and you know that won't, it won't get that hot till the fourth quarter, hopefully. So it should be great tailgating weather, great weather early on in that game. And I can't wait to get out there and see how the Dogs respond. Steven, give fans out there an idea if they want, if they want football tickets, if they want basketball tickets, where do they go to get the information?
Best location, gobulldogs.com, or call 278-DOGS. That's 278-3647. And we've got staff that just are great ticket sales staff, and they really want to take care of our Bulldog fans, and they do a great job of that. So they'll find you some great seats, great ticket packages for what you're looking for your friends and family. Gobulldogs.com, 278-DOGS, at the Saymart Center when our Bulldog ticket office is open, which is the majority of the time. They'll be back open on Monday, but I mean, or you can just, when you're at the stadium, you can ask and inquire about both football and basketball tickets throughout today. But and then one last thing about today's game, it'll be the first time that Fresno State football plays a game that will be broadcast on Twitter. So even if you if you're at one of the tailgates and are taking a little extra time to get in, which you'll want to be in early because we've got the Bulldog Blitz that'll be making another entrance into the game, as well as the Bulldog Marching Band is always just a special time to
Blitz.
Watch. But whether you're in the stands or whether you're out in the tailgate lots or wherever you're watching around the country, you can just watch on Twitter, and you can go to @FSAthletics today on Twitter, and we'll have that pinned to the top of the exact link if it doesn't pop up when in your Twitter timeline. But no, it's that we've seen some great success throughout the Mountain West of games that have been featured on Twitter. It's just one of those extra distribution platforms. It's really set up for all these different digital distribution platforms, and Twitter is one of those, and it's a great free chance to watch the Mountain West Network and Campus Insider. Ari Wolf will lead the coverage today, and he's a great broadcaster that has covered a lot of Fresno State football, men's basketball games throughout the years. So it's going to be a good one today. So looking forward to seeing the Red Wave out there, and appreciate the time to talk about our teams.
Yeah, thanks for adding that bit about Twitter. We definitely want to make sure people know how to watch if they're out of the area or if they just can't make it out to the stadium for some reason, but we hope that stadium's full of Red Wavers. And with that, we'll take you now to some highlights from head coach Tim DeRuiter's press conference this week.
This being the last non-conference game, what do you want to see out of your team going into the Mountain West games for the week following?
Well, you know, ideally you want to play your best game today. We've shown glimpses of that at times in the first 3 weeks. Even last week, there was times where we played pretty good. Didn't look like it very much, but at times we did. We have got to play to where we're capable of or approach that on a consistent basis. We do that, and I think we'll be fine on Saturday. If we don't, you know, we're not going to have the result we want. I want our team to play with confidence, practice hard with confidence so that we can take it to Saturday and, you know, show our fans here at Bulldog Stadium, get that energy from them because our team needs that. Right now, we're not a mature enough team to generate a lot of stuff on our own. You know, you look at that Nebraska game, offensively we started out well, got into a little bit of a lull where Nebraska punched back and scored a couple times. We blocked the punt and that sparked us. We started going again. Young teams, that kind of happens sometimes. Football's a game of momentum. We've got to be able to create some momentum plays on all three phases in order for us to get the crowd into it and get the momentum going on our side.
Tim, one of the criticisms I'm hearing is that a football team's ability to play physical is hindered by running the spread offense. Any thoughts or reactions to that?
Well, I think Alabama's pretty physical. You know, they've gone to an up-tempo spread at times. People will tell you Baylor's pretty physical, Oklahoma's pretty physical, Ohio State's pretty physical. They all run spread systems. So we're not playing physical right now, and that's on us as coaches and players. It has nothing to do with the system, in my opinion.
What are you guys playing for? I know that sounds like a dumb question, but when you see results like this, people wonder, where's the accountability? Where's the belief? What is it where the target is set, where this is what you guys are playing for week to week?
Our guys play for each other, and we play for our fans each and every week. Our seniors, they only have 9 guaranteed opportunities left. They take it very, very personal. Sometimes young guys don't picture that because they – just like young kids in general, they think they're going to live forever. You know, they think they got eligibility forever. When you're a senior, when I see the look in Jeff Camilli's eyes and Brandon Hughes' eyes and Aaron Peck's eyes after that game, they were hurting. And they want to do everything in their power to change that this week. Not a couple weeks, this week. We came out to practice yesterday with a great resolve. We had a physical practice yesterday on Sunday, which we don't normally do. But we needed to work on fundamentals. We're not going to continue to do things the same way if we're not getting the right results. And so we'll change things and we'll fix things. But the things that we can control are how well we prepare, how well we practice, and how hard and passionately we play and effectively we play. We played hard, but we didn't play effectively because we blew assignments, we missed tackles, and those type of things. We've got to understand that each time we go out there, control what we have control over. We can't change the past, but we can control how we play this week, and I believe our guys are going to play well.
That was Bulldogs football head coach Tim DeRuiter at this week's press conference. Thanks again to today's guest, Stephen Trimbley, Director of New Media at Fresno State, and thank you for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSRSports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.